writer for Terminal City Weekly, and he's on the line to talk about the election to come. His blog is at ianking.com, and you can read him in Terminal City each and every Thursday, where for the duration of the campaign, he's writing their ballot box bulldog column. Please welcome to the commentary.ca, Ian King. Good afternoon, Mr. King.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Pretty good. It's ianking.ca, is it?
It is ianking.ca. I can't speak for any of the other Ian Kings out there.
All right. So, talk to me. First of all, Terminal City, if people are unfamiliar with that, what's when does it come out? What color box is it on the street?
Well, we come out every Thursday, so we've got a fresh issue on the streets today. Circulation's about 30,000, mostly in the city of Vancouver and strategic spots in Burnaby, North Vancouver, New Westminster, and areas like that. You can find us at, our boxes in Vancouver are yellow with a bunch of black lettering on them. They're mostly around SkyTrain stations and in downtown Vancouver and a couple other spots in areas like Commercial Drive.
What do you make of the other boxes? You've got green, orange.
Oh, you know what? I think they're multiplying and mutating before our very eyes. I think it's like some sort of a strange biological experiment that we're observing. I swear to God that some of these things are going to become sentient after a while, and then we're really in trouble.
I guess this is the question that everyone, politicians, will you know, ask voters about, and that is, how important is this election for British Columbians? Do you think it is as important as they like to? They claim that it will be.
Well, sure. Sure, it's important because it's. This is how people are going to decide what kind of a government they want for the next 4 years. Do they want more of the same? Do they believe any of the promises they and these guys are making? Will Gordon Campbell go back to the Gordon Campbell that we saw from 2001 to 2003 of being pure slash and burn? And if you see some of the reports out there, especially on the TAI.ca, you'll see that it. That Gordon Campbell's rosy promises may not be what he's leading you to believe. And then you have the question of the NDP. How will they govern? Will they govern like Mike Harcourt did in the first half of the 90s, or how Glenn Clark did in the second half of the 90s? And yes, those provincial government policies do make a difference in a lot of people's lives. So yeah, it's worth paying attention to.
Is it a foregone conclusion that the Liberals will win?
Not a foregone conclusion, but let's face it, it's a lot more likely than not. They seem to have settled out at about an 8-point lead in the polls, and even if you make up for the fact that Liberals cohabitate, there are a lot more ridings with a huge Liberal majority than a slight one, which is why the Liberals lost the election in 1996, despite winning the popular vote. But still, this is a big hurdle for Carol James and the NDP to overcome, and they need to catch a few breaks in addition to running a butt-kickingly good campaign this time around to win.
What does she need to do so that she resonates and she has that profile?
First up, she's got to be able to reach out to that place that Gordon Campbell patronizingly called the Heartlands. The Heartlands, the interior and north of BC, neither of the parties get anymore. Gordon Campbell does not understand how to work with rural BC in the way that Wacky Bennett or Bill Bennett did. Those guys understood that you needed some government intervention to get industry up and running in those areas. Gordon Campbell had been strongly adhering to free marketeering principles when he talked about privatizing this and that, shutting down services in small towns, and I don't think that he gets it. I don't think the current brand of Liberals get it, but I think that the New Democrats, between trying to pander to urban environmentalists and the fact that they just, you know, have largely written off rural BC as a bunch of ignorant rednecks, aren't doing themselves any favors either. Carol James could, and the New Democrats could get themselves another 10 seats if they know how to speak to small town BC.
Isn't it difficult to get to the Heartlands, the so-called Heartlands, because in the last campaign, the former NDP leader, the Premier Dosanjh, he literally ripped them off the last couple of weeks of the campaign?
Sure, and he was running a very urban focused campaign. I think that the NDP are making some noises, and they're talking about restoring things like schools and courthouses, and closing those schools and courthouses really, really hurts when the nearest one is 2 or 3 hours away. And if you're in the lower mainland, so what? You close a courthouse in South Burnaby, big deal. There's one in Vancouver, there's one in Port Coquitlam. You're going to, you know, those services aren't too far away. You know, when you're in a place like Kimberley, it's a hell of a blow.
Gordon Campbell, his image, does that matter at all?
Well, you know, you can only do so much with it. This is why, this is part of the reason why the Liberals aren't playing up Gordon Campbell. They are playing up the fact that the economic data is looking pretty good, especially on, in the Lower Mainland, the Peace Country, and in Vancouver Island. They aren't going to focus on him because Gordon Campbell is never really connected with British Columbians. He just happens to be the leader of a party that holds a pretty broad appeal. So that's so the thing is that they're just going to try and minimize the impact that he has because he can't do for the Liberals what Glenn Clark did for the New Democrats in 1996, which was to project this populist image of a guy that's on your side. Gordon Campbell, I think that for most, for all but a very few British Columbians, doesn't exactly come across as a guy who's really acting in their interests.
You talked about Carol James appealing to urban environmentalists. I guess she would be in the running with trying to get votes from the Greens. Do you think the Greens will be a factor in this campaign?
Oh yeah, they'll definitely be. They'll definitely be a factor, almost entirely as spoilers. I think that they've only got one chance of winning a seat, and that's Adrian Carr up in Powell River, Sunshine Coast, which is well, that's just a real wild card of a seat. In some ridings in Vancouver, they may make the difference between the NDP and the Liberals winning, depending on how strongly the Greens do and where they're tapping their votes from. Are they tapping it from Liberals disaffected with Gordon Campbell, or are they tapping it from the NDP, as seemed to be the case in 2001?
You live in Vancouver, Mount Pleasant, do you?
Yes, I do.
What is it? That's Jenny Kwan's riding, right?
Well, you know, the Liberals haven't even nominated a candidate. Whoever runs there knows that they're going to get blown out of the water. There's Kwan signs up and down every major street in my riding. Now, you're in Kensington, aren't
yeah,
you?
Right.
Right. And you know, if you just look at the sign wars, it's pretty tight. Wong seems to be doing better in the southern part of the riding. Chudnovsky in the northern part of the riding. I think that Chudnovsky may have a slight edge in the sign wars, but it's close. I mean, that's one of the three ridings that we're watching. Obviously, we're paying attention to Kensington. We're paying attention to Vancouver Fairview, where both the Liberals and the NDP have excellent candidates in Gregor Robertson and Virginia Green, and Vancouver Burrard, because let's face it, it's just fun to watch Tim Stevenson and Lauren Mancourt go hammer and tongs at it.
Isn't it? Is it just the police tapes, everything about that race seems...
It's sorted, and these guys, you know, these guys don't like each other. They've been sniping at each other for the last 4 years, too. Tim Stevenson has used a lot of time on council to get back at Lauren Mancourt for being, well, what Stevenson would say is just another little lapdog on the Liberal backbench while Gordon Campbell's program was adversely affecting services in downtown Vancouver. Mancourt, meanwhile, contends that Stevenson is a retread and an opportunist.
In Kensington, Fairview, those are the toss-ups. Do you have a sense of who will win those?
Kensington, couldn't tell you. Maybe Chudnovsky has a slight edge, but Wong may be able to mobilize Chinese-Canadian voters more effectively than Chudnovsky can motivate his base. Fairview is probably leaning a little bit... It's probably more favorable to the Liberals, just naturally, but... Virginia Green is running her team are running a very cautious campaign. She's been ducking out of candidates' forums and debates when it's time to face off against Gregor Robertson. Meanwhile, Gregor Robertson, they've got him out on the street 16 or 18 hours a day some days, literally working out riding up and down the slopes.
What do you make of this phenomenon of star candidates? Green and Robertson are definitely, you would think they would be star candidates, but Carol Taylor, Daniel Legale, Wally Opal?
Well, there's a lot of questions about whether Daniel Legale really has a star quality. I mean, people know who he is, but he doesn't have any sort of a political track record. I mean, he's been used as a political prop in the past.
With the Greywalds, right?
Yes, Gurman Greywald was particularly egregious in his use of a galley. Ironically, it was Chuck Cadman who also did a lot of work in getting a galley of citizenship on time, but Chuck stayed mostly in the background. Now, Opal is obviously a catch. He's got huge name recognition, and one NDP candidate was telling me a couple of weeks, this was even before the Opal talk got serious, he was telling me that he thought that they would win six ridings, but that Fraserview would not be one of them. So bringing Wally Opal into that riding does make this one entirely likely a Liberal pickup.
The STV referendum, that's another ballot that we'll have to mark on the 17th of May. The campaign so far, what are your thoughts on that?
It really has been a quiet campaign so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but no one knows about it, so.
But you'll notice that, it does seem to be a question of, can you understand the system? How deeply do you need to understand the system in order to accept it? I mean, a lot of people don't deeply understand the implications of how the first-past-the-post system works, but they understand that the guy who gets more votes than the other guys is going to be the person that wins. With SGB, you have to kind of read the entrails after the vote's been cast in order to figure out where the hell your vote went. But what I can say is that the process that led to the decision to put SDV on the ballot was exceedingly fair. It was very well designed. Gordon Gibson did a great job in coming up with the assembly's constitution. They hired probably the best political thinker in the province to be its research director, and Jack Blaney moderated the assembly well. Now, I find that the system's interesting. Yes, it is complex, but it gives the opportunity for people to spread their votes in a way that they hadn't before, rank who they think is the most deserving, and have lots of backup in case their first choices either have more votes than they need or are complete no-hopers, in which case that vote, you know, you can still register your intention to vote that the no-hoper is your first choice. But then your vote can still get transferred, and it can still have some use after your candidate choice has been eliminated. So it does have a lot of potential upside. But the complexity is troubling. Have you noticed the split in terms of who's opposing it and who's promoting STV?
It's sort of like the party hacks on both sides are opposed to it, and everybody else is
for it. The yes side are largely, if I can use the term, political geeks, the kind of people
right.
who do enjoy talking about electoral systems. This doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad system because of the people that are supporting it. But, yeah, it is guys like Bill Thielman and Bud Smith and Jim Nielsen, who incidentally was the most persuasive opponent of STV or any electoral reform at Citizens Assembly hearings, that are opposing the change, whereas it's a lot of guys who haven't had a lot of involvement in electoral politics and not a huge amount of involvement in the back rooms that are backing STV, and I think that they see it as a way to bust the voting system open and let a lot more people into the game and force the parties to play a much different game in terms of how they appeal to the voters. They can't just nominate party hacks and save seats. And there's one side effect of STV that I think that nobody's paid attention to this yet, but I think that they should. And that's that, okay, there will still be such a thing as safe seats. But, for example, if you put Fraser Valley South, Langley, Abbotsford, Matsqui, Chilliwack, as one giant six-member riding, right now under the current system, all six of those seats are going to go Liberal. Under STV, sure, four seats are going to go Liberal, but one or two will go NDP, and maybe one goes to a right-wing Christian fundamentalist party. Why? Because those parties can get enough seats to get someone elected in that area under STV, but not under the current system, which means that people who don't necessarily relate to the Liberals have someone that they can go to in that riding, and that's a really interesting upside to STV, is that, okay, free enterprisers in East Van can have a voice, and for that matter, social democrats in the Fraser Valley or the Okanagan may also have an MLA that they can go to instead of trying to kiss butt with a politician whose beliefs they're always in conflict with.
Did you think whatever people vote in the general election, will that affect what happens at STV? Or?
You know what? No. I think that the more anti-party and the more anti-establishment you are, the more likely you are to vote yes. But
yeah.
I think that I think the momentum is with the no side, but British Columbians are an ornery and surprising lot. If you just look back to 1992 and the Charlottetown Accord, I mean, we thumped that one harder than anyone. We made the Albertans look like a bunch of establishment bootlickers.
With how British Columbia went,
with how strongly we went no. We didn't just say no, we screamed it.
But we've got less than 3 weeks to go, don't we?
Yes,
more than 3 weeks to go.
26 days between now and well, 26 days and 7 hours as we're talking right now.
And a lot can happen between now and then, right?
A lot can happen, and those events are going to affect the outcome of some ridings. I mean, especially here in Vancouver. You know, will Tim Stevenson or Lauren Mancourt stick their foot in their mouth? Well, the question is not so much will they, but how badly will either of them? And it is and in urban ridings, it really is going to come down to the individual candidate's performance in those tight races. A lot of people say, "Oh yeah, people only vote for parties; they don't vote for candidates." Well, maybe in some areas, maybe in the suburbs, maybe in the exurbs, that's the way it works. But here in Vancouver, where you've got tightly packed communities, yeah, local candidates do make a difference. Out in rural BC, a local hero can drag in a lot more vote based on their own good reputation, and that can affect what would otherwise be a party line vote.
Ian, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem, Joe.
And we'll probably call on you before the campaign's over.
All right, sounds good.
And Ian King, you can read him in Terminal City every week. IanKing.ca is his website for the commentary. I'm Joseph Plano.